Yep, that's right. Farmer Fridays. It is here. It is on at 33 minutes past the hour. Of course, we have to finish your week out strong. Finish your week out with impact with Farmer Wayne. Farmer Fridays presented by Swanson Family Farm. I got my guy, Farmer Wayne, on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Doing good, feeling great.
Good. Man, I had a great week last week.
Yes, sir.
Got to take my nephews, my son, my brother, fishing, and my cousin. And then we had our cousin who's more like an uncle to us. We brought him in, and he went with us, and it was just a great trip. We did some SWOT analysis and just kind of also did a deep dive into my nephew's clothing line, where we started looking at his marketing a little bit. We looked at some things he needs to narrow and focus on. So that's what the SWOT is. But man, let's get to the farm business.
Yes.
And a conversation about culture.
Mm.
And how, when you've lived in a culture, that you can be put into the best of environments. You can literally be put into greener pastures. But if you have not made the adjustment culturally, mentally, you can't benefit from the greener pastures. Here's an example. While I was away, one of my clients, he picked up two donkeys. One of the donkeys came from a really good, nice, lush green pasture. The other donkey came from pretty much a parking lot. So yesterday when I paid my visit to set up what we're doing today, I noticed that the donkey from the parking lot was struggling to eat grass because it wanted to eat all of the weeds and eat things that were very close to the ground, like his parking lot. He's in a field of lush greens. He's surrounded by nutrition. The thing that he would eat would give him both physical nutrition, being able to walk in the grass is going to mentally nourish him. And you'll see the difference in his body. But as I watched this donkey, it wanted to eat basically dirt. Because the culture that it came from, it couldn't see the grass for what the grass actually was. And it couldn't see the grass for what the grass could do for him. So in a lot of times in life, we get stuck in a culture. And you hear me talk about this a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
This street culture. This mentality that we're all street or we're all from a project. No. There are people who helped you, who've put you in situations like a Morris Brown College.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't pivoted or made the pivot mentally, or if the people who are your caretakers didn't recognize that they needed to stage you out of this transition, right? They need to transition you from one thing to another. You won't find success. You may find success in them bricks, grinding it out. But when you get in a situation where the stage is set, you may not find success because you don't realize or you have not learned that it's a little easier to take established information. Like we're talking, I think you said you had a young man on here who's talking about finances.
Absolutely. Yep, you're sitting
had
right
I
here.
Known it, had I known at 18 or 19, instead of buying that dirt bike for $4,000 or $5,000, that I could have put that $4,000 or $5,000 into a Roth.
Mm.
I'm about to be 50. Had I known that I could have bought life insurance on everybody in my family at 21 when I was making good money, or 22. Had I known these things, but there are cultures where that is the norm. And we've got to get to a place where we have healthy, normal cultural practices. And it can't be seen as bougie. It can't be seen as uppity. It has to be seen as one thing, building for success. Now, this donkey's going to be successful. But the things that I have to do to it mentally to get it right. Well, one, it's not eating a good diet, so its skin's all scabby, its hair's falling out. So if it cares about its appearance, now we got low self-esteem we got to deal with. So it may do things that you or I may not see as rational, but someone with low self-esteem, believe it or not, animals suffer from low self-esteem when they see themselves in another animal. So we've got to fix its skin. But now we've got to fix not only that animal, but I've got to treat all the animals in the quarantine area that may have brushed up against this animal and got a little bit of its culture on them. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I gotta take and make sure that I address everybody. Just touch in, just say I'm gonna step into them and just say, hey, just wanna check on you. Let me take a stool sample to the vet to make sure you don't have worms like the donkey. Let me brush you to see if your hair starts coming off like the donkey.
Right.
Let me watch what you're eating. You may have seen what the donkey was eating and thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know that's what we were supposed to be doing. Let me start doing that. So the good shepherd, a good leader, is going to make sure, and some of this stuff ain't going to be, you know, I'm going to have to tackle one of these sheep because she don't like being touched. So to fix her, I'm going to have to put her in an uncomfortable situation to do some preventative maintenance. And I want people to understand that if you got a boss, a mentor, somebody that loves you, everything is not going to be cookie cutter. You ain't going to get it the way you want it. You're going to get it the way that person gives it to you. And if you need everything to be sweet, go to the fair and get some funnel cake and some cotton candy. Because success, like planting seeds, you got to go through some ish and push through some ish and show yourself to be worthy of the sunlight. If you can't break out that shell as a seed, even if you covered in good ground, you ain't worthy of the sunlight. You're going to turn in fertilizer for somebody else's roots because you couldn't break out. So somebody's going to use you, because as you decay and break down, somebody's going to see it and say, okay, well, let me use this part of you to take my boost and my jump. Because I've identified that you are not worthy of the sun, but you are worthy for me to take a step on.
Come on, man.
So I just want you to know that that's culture. Success is culture. Excellence is a habit. So I got to train this donkey that if you want to have good skin, baby, you need to come on out here and eat this rye. Eat this clover we got out here. Stop trying to eat the weeds in the dirt. That's not for you. This is what's for you, and we're going to show you what's for you. Success is for you. How you define success is what matters. But I can also determine and tell you what failure is. Failure is your hair falling out because you don't have a proper diet. Failure is the mange you're getting because your hair fell out, and now the sarcophagic demodectic mange bug, the little crabs, get on you. So that's not success. You may say, no, I'm successful. I love being in these bricks and eating McDonald's and hot Cheetos every day. No, that's not success. Because your health bill is going to be such that you're going to suck up all your money. You won't be able to do the things you need to do in later in life. And your brain won't get the amino acids and the things it needs for those synapses to fire. So that's it, man. Culture is success. And right. On the farm today, we are addressing the culture of a donkey who was kept in a parking lot and doesn't know he's supposed to eat grass. So some of us are complaining about not being successful when we in the midst of land and honey. Y'all live in Atlanta. Maybe you don't understand what I'm about to say.
Come on.
It's a man named Maynard Jackson made this thing roll. All you had to do was a couple things to be ready, or just be prepared to be the best in whatever it is that you do. All you got to do is be the best. It's like football. It's like basketball. The scouts will find you. Be the best. Surround yourself with the best. Surround yourself with people that are better than you. You can't always be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know it feels good, but while everybody's doing that steel sharpens steel, iron sharpens iron on you, you're getting dull.
Mm.
Somebody's got to take that, got to go to that stone, that wet stone every once in a while, so that you can keep sharpening others, so that you can be a benefit to others. So that's it, man. That was literally what I'm sitting in a driveway right now at the farm, about to go mess with this donkey. And I was like, we're going to talk about this today because it applies. And I have people in my family who can't leave the hood. I took everybody to, we rented an Airbnb on a canal, river running through it. You get a boat. It's like a taxi. You can drive your little boat down the road. And I leave at 7 a.m. and somebody in my family couldn't make the adjustment to not bang music that says the N-word every other word at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And I had to tell him, I said, hey, man, we're here to do something different. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm gonna introduce you to how Uncle Chip gets down.
Ooh, come on with it.
So this is how we do it here. We got this beautiful place. You know there's a noise ordinance because I told y'all. 9:30 to 9:30, there's a noise ordinance. So you should be sitting outside, reflecting, planning, recharging, energizing. And if that's not even your thing, if water doesn't do it for you, take 24, 48 hours and sit in that space until you figure out, well, what is it that I use to recharge?
Hmm.
And I had to tell them, I said, man, we can't recharge. And I'm going to say the word one time, Michael said, we can't recharge if every 5 minutes we killing, calling, or selling something to niggas. We not them. And I said, I can't be no more. That's it. I'm done. I can't be another N-word. I can't be around another N-word. If y'all not going to show some music where we killing other people, or we doing something, but how many of us are we going to kill in a 6-hour period on a drive from Atlanta to St. Pete, Tampa, Florida?
Whew.
Culture.
Whew.
Culture. So my nephews are eating the weeds and the dirt off the side of the fence because they're living in a parking lot in terms of this music and this culture.
Come on, man. Whew.
And all around them is green pasture. They not them kids that can be like, hey, man, we grew up in... No. All around them is green pasture.
Wow.
With cool water and a drink. With a barn overhead. With fresh hay. Somebody coming and cleaning up the stall. They got the best situation.
Mm.
But they eating the weeds from under the fence. They just won't turn around. All they looking at is the barrier. The fence. Just turn around. Look behind you. 10, 15 acres of lush pasture. And you see the other animals running, grazing, being happy. But you can't see that because all you see is the fence.
Mm. Come on, man. Sheesh.
Just change your direction.
Man.
180 degrees. Nobody even said you got to stay there. But experience something different to see what it does for your thinking.
Wow. Mm. Farmer Wayne, I'm gonna do something real quick, and I got to bring you onto the mic. So I'm gonna ask the young king in the room, what was your takeaway from it? Everything that you heard.
My biggest takeaway was when he was talking about being at the Airbnb. How you need to take some time to just relax, think, plan, recharge, and just take a step away from all the crazy things that are going around, just to organize your head. And that's something that I feel like I need to do as well. I feel like we all need to do. And yeah, that was just profound to me.
Yes, sir.
See what I mean? And this is important not only for us adults, but it's also important for our young people as well. And that's what made me ask him that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's why segments like these are so important.
It's key to your mental health. It's key to your growth. You have to have time to recharge. Got to have that time.
You wanted to say something? Oh, hold on. Yeah, okay, so
yeah,
Miss Rhonda wanted to say something as well. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me wrong mic. Go ahead.
I wanted to touch on it because, you know, I'm always instilling that into my son. But what I see nowadays is a lack of leadership and direction for the youth. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he was talking about when he first left Detroit and moved to California, my great uncle, was so hard on him. Any boys that came to live with him, he was hard on, you know. So our cousin Connie was like, "You think Uncle Chuck will let me come out there?" And my dad's like, "You can ask, but I don't think so, you know." But then she asked, and he's like, "Oh, of course, you know, come on." And so back then, it was like the women were taken more at a softer approach. So the men were, it was harsh, you know. My dad, like, it was no slack, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't no sympathy. But nowadays, the boys are baby, they're pacified, they're spoiled. You know, they're not taught to live on their own and stand on their own. And the ones that do, it's because of the lack of parental guidance. They have to learn at an early age. And so I think things have tend to flip when I think there just needs to be more of a balance between raising boys and girls. But I think that when I speak to the youth and, you know, I have younger cousins, it's just that they don't have no direction. My mom taught me domestic, but my other family members, they aren't so domestic. You know, when it comes to cooking, like, I was made to clean. I was, you know, my mom was like, "You got to cook. You got to do this, 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 and this." But my cousins, they didn't grow up like that. So now that they're adults, they don't know how to do certain things. They don't know how to keep up certain things. So, you know, when I basically grew up in Detroit versus Texas, it was like a community thing. Everybody, like, somebody gonna tell you, you ain't supposed to be doing that, whether they're your mama, your cousin, family member or not. But nowadays we get so scared to kind of help other kids or other teenagers because there's so much of a disconnect. Like, we don't have that guidance where they can go and talk to a mentor or elder that can give them some good advice. It's like the youth, like the older guys, they don't listen. They don't know what I'm going through. And then the older ones are like, they're hard heads. They don't want to listen. When it's just, we have to figure out a way to communicate with the two, because these young men, they want better. They don't want to be out here. This is not the life that they want to do, live, and things they want. You know, they don't want to be on the sidewalk and the concrete trying to eat. They do want to be in the grass. They just don't know how to get there. You know, they don't know how to get there and to do that. And we feel like, okay, well, you need to go get a job at McDonald's, or you need to go get a job at Dollar Tree to actually, you know, and it's, they're not going to do that. So we have to figure out a way to communicate with our youth to get them back on that right path and to get them going into the grass so that they can eat and their kids can eat and their kids' kids can eat. So that was my take on that, was that they all do. But for my child, I instill that on a day-to-day basis. He has chores. Yeah. You know, a lot of kids don't have chores, let alone have to clean, you know,
right.
And that clean is not even clean. So when they get older and they have relationships and that relationship is hindered because of that, you know, that's an effect that we have to stop doing. Like, it don't matter if it's your child or not. We all should be helping these kids. We all should be giving back to the kids. If you see someone, you know, talk to them. Trust me, as long as you are approaching them in the, "I'm not better than you, because I got out this situation, you should too kind of mentality, mm-hmm. and just relate to them. Like, I've been there, done that. Give them advice, whether they choose to take it then, now, later. That's on them. But, you right. know, but just saying, them some hotheads, they ain't going to listen. You know, my brother does that with my son. And it's like, if you love them, you're going to keep giving them that advice. You don't be like, okay, I'm done.
Well, yes and no, because the measure of a man is the pivot. So you can't do wrong or do nothing, and a man be around that is doing something and giving you good advice, and expect for him to constantly coddle you in the advice.
But at the same time, so, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
What I see in the men that I've been around is that is more of our presence isn't enough. Not us teaching you, you know, our presence is enough. And not only that, sometimes it's not the presence. You know what? I'm going to come in every so often and try to throw some gems on you. But where are you at on a regular? The boys need a male influence on a regular basis. That woman, the women in the family cannot do that, and that's what it's becoming. The men are, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about everybody, but it's generally the man's like, I'm here, right? That's it. I don't have to teach this boy how to change a flat tire. How many of these youth know how to change a flat tire? How to change their oil? Things that they should know how to do, or even have an idea of what to do. If their car breaks down, what do they do? Call mom, call somebody. They don't even know how to access their own car.
There's a theory there. Is if the car breaks down and you run immediately out, you set the stage for, I don't necessarily need to know anything. Sometimes I have a 20-year-old and my nephews are from 20 to 30. And I'll get a phone call, and it may be, oh, I'm on the side of the road. Like, all right, man, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. I can't get there till 1, but I got you. I can't get there now. I could go right now. But what I'm doing is giving them an opportunity to exercise their creativity and ingenuity in working through a situation. 9 times out of 10, I get a call back. Oh, my buddy such and such has grabbed me. I forgot I had AAA. We're going to get this thing done. I make sure everybody has AAA. Sometimes you forget. Sometimes I forget. And then if we're going to talk through a situation, like, all right, what was going on? Well, I didn't change the oil. My engine seized. So now I got to get a new engine. But you know you're not going to have a car, right? Yeah. Okay. As long as you understand that. But we're so fast to fix their problems. They never get a chance to exercise that muscle. Kids don't build forts and things anymore, so they're not exploring anymore. So now the only time they get a chance to investigate that or exercise that muscle is when they hit a rough patch. And as soon as they hit a rough patch, we swoop in and save them. So by the time they're 25, and, you know, they got a lady who maybe, because we tell women they need to be very independent and smart. Most women can do more stuff than men now because we've coddled guys.
That's what I was
saying. But we have gotten harder on our ladies.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you, you know, your age or anything like that, but I know in Michigan. 48. Okay. In Detroit, they going to school like my father's age. He's in his 60s. They taught them trades. And what I'm saying is that you are saying, okay, when the problem arises, how to fix it. Use your imagination or use your creative thinking. But how do we prevent the problems? Do you know how to maintain your car?
You cannot.
So what I'm saying is like. You cannot
prevent the problem.
No, I'm saying like, do you know how to, as a male, know how to maintain your car?
Right.
Do you know when your tires are low?
A guy that raises guys.
And that's what I'm saying. This is not for everybody. But right. for there's a lot of youth out here that don't know these things or have someone like you to turn to. you know.
Right, but hear me what I'm saying. The problem is the solution. It's almost like germs, right? You got to get some germs in you. If you don't get germs in you, you won't be able to fight off anything. There is no way to raise boys in a clean, sanitized way. There is no such thing as perfect.
Right. We're
situationally
totally
aware.
Right. You're more of the after. I'm talking more of the before. So you're saying there's
no,
a problem
there is
and
no
to fix
before.
It, but I'm
so,
saying to prepare himself for as much as he can so when that problem arises, he knows how to address it better.
Right. But again, every situation, I can train you a zillion ways on what I know, right? So maybe the man that's in his life isn't a mechanic. So he's training him in accounting because that's his specialty. That's his life. That's the people that he surrounds himself with. So we have to take what's there, not look for the perfect example of what we think a guy should know.
And I'm not saying,
there's always
once again,
the
not
community
either.
Is where we kind of make sure that we get the community involved. Like, all right, so look, I know your kid got a lemonade stand. He doesn't know how to do spreadsheets. I do spreadsheets. Let me help him. You're a mechanic. Can you help my son with this? Show him how to check oil and show him where to check oil and talk to him and let him know that, hey, man, really, in these new cars, you can't even change the oil on them yourself.
Nice, nice.
The battery's not even under the hood a lot of time on these cars. It's in the trunk now.
Nice.
You can't even see the battery anymore. You've got to know that the car has so much electricity in it. They have ports now that you just hook to. That we have to continually grow. And it's okay. The hardest part, this is the craziest thing. These kids got everything they could ever dream of, everything they could ever want, and they hard as nails, which I don't understand at all. Because usually being hard comes from you not having stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you having to scramble and scrape. These kids, my kid included, even me, growing up in the 80s, I grew up like a Cosby kid. We had everything. We had no wants. You just have to have a desire. The culture was we wanted to be the best. Now the culture is we want to smoke weed. They want us numb. So you can't learn numb. Everything is weed now with these kids. Weeds and pills. Good kids. I don't know a kid, if he ain't 16, 17 years old, that doesn't smoke. And if he's a rare occasion these days. It used to be Friday, Saturday thing. Now they're getting numb on every day of the week, and it's cool. It's legal. I drive on Candler Road. There's not a day I go down Candler Road, I don't get a puff of weed smoke in my vehicle. So it's always interesting. So I tell people, I said, look, man, I farm this. But if you put me in a situation, we're going to learn it. And it's okay to fail. It's okay to be out on the side of that road because you're going to learn something from that situation. If you can prevent it, like the sister was saying, by all means, prevent it. But I can guarantee you one thing. As long as the day is long and the sky is blue, we're all going to be on that side of the road. And it's going to be something we could have prevented, and it's going to be something we had no idea was going to happen.
Gotcha. And, by the way, just real quick, because I know we got to close, but tell everybody where they can find you, follow you, and buy from the farm.
Swanson Family Farm on all platforms. SwansonFamilyFarmLLC.com. I just got some lamb in, and I have a little bit of beef left from the last order. That should be done this weekend. But, man, follow us. Rob, I have to send you guys the USA Today expose they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
I don't know if you saw it, so I'll shoot that over to you.
Yeah, let's get that out there. Let's get it.
Yeah, man.
But
man, I'm very appreciative. I love the guests, man. Good stuff. And everybody's out here hollering at me, so I'm about to go get to work.
I hear them. Thank you so much. And take care. Have a great weekend and great week ahead.
Y'all too.
All right, now.
Peace.